From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Legrisco with the news on Tuesday, August 27th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Enrollment across the University of Maine system is up about 5% this fall. It's the first time in 3 years the university system has seen year-to-year growth, though enrollment is still down compared to where it was 5 years ago. University System Chancellor Daniel Malloy attributes the growth in part to better communication with prospective students and to the updates that schools are making with their physical infrastructure.
We are appropriately investing in ourselves at a much higher rate, addressing some of the challenges that people could see when they would walk into a building that hasn't been renovated in 50 years. Or that we're not offering the kind of housing that the market wants to see.
More than 2,300 undergraduate students will transfer into the university system this year, the most in a decade. Roughly a quarter of those students will transfer from Maine's community colleges. Malloy says the number of community college transfers should increase as the public school systems have recently agreed to guarantee graduates admission to a UMaine school and proactively help them enroll. Maine's Public Defense Commission is seeking an additional $64 million over the next couple years to build out new offices, increase lawyer pay, and boost recruitment. Ari Snyder reports.
The commission laid out its priorities in a budget request released this week. At the top of the wish list are three new public defender offices in Cumberland County, York County, and the Midcoast. Executive Director Jim Billing says he intends to seek funding for those offices as emergency legislation to get them up and running as soon as possible in 2025.
The sooner we have authorization for Cumberland, York, and Midcoast to get started on hiring and filling those positions, the sooner those offices can open and add that capacity.
The commission is also requesting $5 million to fund incentives to encourage lawyers to take on more difficult cases or cases in parts of the state where attorney rosters are especially thin. Billings says last year's pay increase to $150 an hour helped stem attorney attrition, but more is needed to make a meaningful dent in the backlog of unrepresented cases. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
Pond water near the site of a hazardous firefighting foam spill in Brunswick has tested positive for PFAS contamination. Samples taken from a nearby pond on the day of the spill last week came back with PFAS levels several magnitudes greater than what the Environmental Protection Agency deems safe for drinking water. Maine authorities say the chemicals haven't seeped into Brunswick's public water supply and that it's safe to drink. But Sarah Woodbury of the nonprofit Defend Our Health says many people in Brunswick rely on water from their own residential wells.
Those residential wells around that area should be tested to see if there's contamination in the drinking water, whether it happened from this spill or not. Just because there is so much legacy contamination out there, those people should know if their drinking water is safe.
This is the third spill that's occurred at the site of the former Naval Air Base since it was decommissioned in 2010. Brunswick will host a town hall Thursday evening for residents to ask questions about the cleanup. And residents in three rural Penobscot County towns will have to wait at least 20 minutes for an ambulance to arrive. Citing ongoing staffing issues, Northern Light Mayo Hospital alerted officials in the town of Corinth that it will no longer staff an ambulance at the town's fire department starting next month. Ambulances will instead be deployed from the Dover Foxcroft and Dexter areas. Corinth Fire Department Captain Matt Nato says the town's ambulance has also been deployed to the nearby towns of Bradford and Charleston, responding to 6 or 7 calls a day.
Speaking in terms of critically serious emergencies, it is completely possible that lengthened delay may make patients more critical upon our arrival. That being said, obviously there are skilled EMTs and paramedics responding, but it may be more difficult to help given those delays in response.
The decision follows Northern Light's announcement that it will begin charging some towns for ambulance services. Babb's Bridge will remain closed to traffic in Gorham and Windham through the spring after a loaded dump truck crashed through the floorboards last week. Engineers with the Maine Department of Transportation inspected the bridge this week and found that some beams were damaged. DOT says that the lumber will need to be specifically sourced to match the existing beams and dimensions of the bridge. It's not yet clear how much the project will cost, but procuring the materials for the job will take several months. The truck was 6 times heavier than the bridge's 3-ton weight limit. State police have issued a $2,500 violation summons to the driver. Too much algae can turn normally clear lake water green and even become toxic to people and pets. Until now, most Maine lakes have escaped regular algal blooms, but experts worry time might be running out as bacteria rapidly multiply in increasingly warmer waters. As part of our series In Hot Water, Peter McGuire reports on a new threat to water quality lurking far beneath the surface.
As we set anchor at the deepest point of Androscoggin Lake, Buddy Cummings looks off the side of our boat. He starts to choke up, witnessing what's happened to the place he's spent summers for most of his 69 years.
Looks like pea soup. It looks really bad. You know, it's not supposed to look like that.
It's early August, and the 4,000-acre lake, about 20 miles west of Augusta, is on the verge of a full-blown algal bloom. This is the fourth year in a row the lake's clear water has transformed into a green, sludgy mess. Cyanobacteria, also known as blue-green algae, caused the bloom. The tiny organisms thrive in warm water, and on this day, the top layer of Androscoggin Lake is 84 degrees.
Yeah, folks are saying the lake is like a bathtub right now. It wasn't refreshing to even jump in.
Conservationist Whitney Baker is with the 30 Mile River Watershed Association, which took special interest in the lake's worsening blooms.
We've noticed locally in our watershed over the last roughly decade, really since 2016, an increase in surface water temperatures with record-breaking surface water temperatures just in the last 2-3 years.
Baker says cyanobacteria also need the nutrient phosphorus to grow out of control. It's usually released from soil carried by stormwater, broken septic tanks, and fertilizer. But as climate change keeps lake water warm for longer periods, phosphorus pollution is unleashed from sediment deep below the surface. State lake biologist Linda Bacon says that as temperatures go up, lake water naturally divides into layers. The warmer top layer mixes with oxygen from the atmosphere, but the colder bottom layer doesn't get any oxygen refills.
Basically, the amount of oxygen in those bottom waters has got to last the lake and the fish and all of the other critters that are there through the entire summer until the lake cools down and it mixes again.
But these days, the bottom layer gets used up before it can be replenished. So it becomes anoxic, or oxygen starved, which not only threatens cold water fish, but can also detach phosphorus from the lake bed.
If that phosphorus begins to be released from the sediment and gets back up into the water column where the light is penetrating in, it's warm, that is fueling algal growth, and you can end up with a lot more algae.
Bacon says this used to be a rare phenomenon. Now it's happening every summer in lakes across Maine. Back on Androscoggin Lake, Whitney Baker lowers a device that measures temperature and dissolved oxygen in the water column over the side of the boat meter by meter. At 7 meters, roughly 22 feet down, the oxygen disappears.
The volume of water below 7 meters is anoxic. So then all of the surface area of the sediment that's exposed to those anoxic waters is potentially releasing phosphorus into the lake right now.
This is the earliest an algal bloom has been reported on Androscoggin Lake. Water quality used to dip in September and October after summer residents and tourists were already gone.
It's occurring now when everyone wants to be in the water and enjoying camp.
Heavy blooms can also have economic repercussions. Repeated studies show diminished water quality devastates lakefront property values. Longtime summer resident Buddy Cummings says he's already seeing the losses mount.
My neighbors have a camp that they used to rent throughout the summer to regular renters that have been coming for years. And now they don't feel that it's fair to try and rent it in late August because of alga blooms that we've been having. And now this year, with the blooms starting at the beginning of August, you know, who knows?
123 Maine lakes have had at least one recorded algal bloom, according to the Department of Environmental Protection. 30 are deemed to be at high risk of blooming repeatedly and frequently. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Tomorrow, in part three of our series, In Hot Water, we'll explore how climate change makes it harder to contain the spread of aggressive, invasive plants. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, how to handle your finances in retirement. I'm Nicole LaGrisco. Thanks for listening.